So we have been studying a character in the Bible, looking at his memoirs, and today we come to the final week of our series. Next Sunday, I'll be preaching an Easter sermon on the fact that Christ is our rescuer, that he has come to rescue us. But today, we're going to take a look back at a man named, who is it? Nehemiah. Just want to make sure we're talking about the same guy. Today, what I'm going to do is invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, page 333 of our Bibles in the pew, or find your place in your copy of the scriptures or your electronic device. What I'm going to do is hit the high points of every sermon I preach. I'm going to click through these really quickly. And I want you, as you watch and you remember that sermon, just track with me. And out of everything I put up on the screens, if there's one truth that you can latch on to take with you out of this series, I'd like you to do that. So we're going to do that first. It'll take about 10 minutes or so. And then I've invited three people in our church family who are going to come up, and they're going to just briefly share for a few minutes the impact of this series on them. Many of you know that I write out sermon-based questions called the Recollect each week, and a number of our small groups use them during the week. In fact, I think one of our Sunday school classes that's been together for years has started using them on Sunday mornings as well. And so I called a couple of our small group leaders, and I said, could you give me names of a couple people who I might be able to invite to just share briefly with the church family about rebuilding in their lives and how God has touched them? And so they gave me, I got a list of names, and just went through the list, and I have three brave, brave people who are going to sit here with me when I finish the review, and they're just going to answer a couple questions and share with you, their church family, how God has been working in their hearts. I think any time a church family gets to talk to each other about God being at work in them, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So Nehemiah chapter 1. As you look, so I'll go through each chapter. You kind of scan the chapter with me as I review the truths that we saw there. First of all, in a broken world filled with broken people, we will all find ourselves rebuilding one day. That is the premise of the whole series, that we live in a broken world. All you have to do is look at today's newspaper or turn on the news or read the news online, and you know that we live in a broken world. All you need to do is look at your own life and people you know, and you know that we live in a broken world. So in a broken world filled with broken people like me and like you, we will all find ourselves rebuilding one day. Every one of us is either in the middle of rebuilding right now today, or we're coming out of a rebuilding season, or we're headed into a rebuilding season because we live in a broken world. Change often occurs when the pain of staying the same outweighs the pain of changing. That's when change happens, when the pain of staying where you are, wherever that is, outweighs the pain of changing. God sees you not just for what you are, but for what you can become. God doesn't just see you for your brokenness, but for what you can become, which is why he sent Jesus to heal us and to heal our brokenness. So Nehemiah begins in chapter 1 by illustrating these truths for us. We go to chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. This one's easy. Just one truth. One truth. Rebuilding takes courage and risk. If there is an area of your life that needs to be rebuilt, I promise you from personal experience, it takes courage and it takes risk. In fact, it took great courage and risk for you to even write on these cards for me anonymously what needs to be rebuilt in your life. It takes great courage and take great risk. Chapter 2, verses 11 to 20, as we continue on our journey of review. Rebuilding starts with an honest assessment of how things really are. An honest assessment of how things really are. Carefully examine your life and the damage that you're causing to yourself and others because of your brokenness. In what areas of your life do you suspect the denial is most active? And where in your life this broken start feeling normal? And where are you used to the rubble? Remember, we saw that the people in Jerusalem had lived with this rubble of a wall for 150 years, a century and a half, and they just got used to it. It's like, oh, well, we live with this rubble. We do the same things in our own lives where we just get used to rubble. And so the question is, where are you used to the rubble? And then this one, thinking about beginning is not the same as beginning. Remember, I had some German software, and I told you, my wife bought this software, and I was going to learn German before we went to Germany last year and all. And I thought about beginning a lot of times, but I never did. Thinking about beginning is not the same as beginning. And so if there's an area of your life that God is calling you out to say, I want you to start rebuilding this area of your life, thinking about doing it is not the same as doing it. So that's why Nehemiah went and assessed the walls around his city. We come to chapter 3 as we continue our journey, and we come to the builders of the wall. You remember that sermon where we talked about the movie credits, and I asked you, how many of you say after movies to watch the movie credits? And some of you raised your hands, and some of you looked at me like I was nuts. Well, that's what we have here. Chapter 3, there is rebuilding work that we can do in our lives that will benefit others far more than ourselves. So we had builders who came in from the countryside who helped build the wall. We had perfume makers who don't know anything about masonry who are helping rebuild the wall. In your life, in my life, the rebuilding work that we do in our lives will often benefit others far more than it will benefit us. And some of the most important building that you will ever do in your life is not rebuilding your life, but helping someone else rebuild his or her life. And then this is a key concept. You cannot rebuild your life alone. We need each other. I need you, you need me, we need each other. We cannot rebuild the broken areas of our lives alone. And then we come to chapter 4. So you look at the opposition to the rebuilding. Remember those guys, Sanballat? What was the other one's name? Anyone remember Sanballat's sidekick's name? Tobiah. Tobiah and Sanballat. You might not want to name your kids Tobiah and Sanballat. That would not be very flattering. No rebuilding ever goes smoothly, and the more that you're prepared for the complications, the better off you'll be. So just know this, that as you enter into the messiness of rebuilding something in your life, be ready for complications. This will not be smooth sailing. Remember this too, change is the hardest at the beginning, and it's the messiest in the middle. So it's hard when you start rebuilding, and then you get underway, and you can't see the end anywhere in sight because it takes so long in some areas of our lives to rebuild. And so you're in this messy middle, and it's easy to lose your way in the middle. Change is the hardest in the middle. And remember this, as we saw, if you try to rebuild everything at once, you'll rebuild nothing. Pick an area, a thing, a relationship, and focus on that, and don't try to do all of these things at one time. And we also saw in chapter 4, fighting just for you will only take you so far. So the question is, whom are you fighting for as you rebuild areas of your life? They may not even be born yet. They may be someone you don't even know yet. Whom are you fighting for as you follow Jesus and you rebuild areas of brokenness in your life? And then we came to chapter 5. Boil it down to one truth we walked away with. Sacrifice with actions that say, I love you more than I love me. Our inclination is to be selfish people. It's my inclination, left to my own desires. I'm a selfish man. I have this curvature of the soul of selfishness because of sin. You likewise have it. And so we want to sacrifice with our lives, with actions to say, I love you more than I love me. Then we came to chapter 6. As we continue our journey, we saw further opposition to rebuilding, and We saw there that your brokenness affects more than just you. So whatever areas of our lives we're broken in, we don't live in isolation. Our brokenness affects more than just us. We also saw that discernment is a skill of understanding and applying God's word with the purpose of separating truth from error and right from wrong. And one of the things I said to you was, if you want to be a discerning person, we have to know God's word, because that's where wisdom is found, is in God's word. And I gave you some examples of how someone could speak words of, quote, wisdom to you that really aren't words of wisdom, they're words of foolishness, because they don't hold water when it comes to the word of God. We also saw the next truth that whatever you are rebuilding, focus on it, ignore the distractions and the noise, and don't quit, and don't give up, because you're doing a great work. And as Nehemiah said, and we prayed together, we lifted our hands, remember that, and we said, now strengthen my hand. Would you do that with me now? Let's just pray that to God right now. Now strengthen my hands. One more time. Now strengthen my hands. And then we came to chapter 8. And I asked the question, what are some portions of the Bible that make you weep because they remind you just how disobedient you have been and how broken you are? Remember the story? Ezra stands on a big high platform and he opens the word of God, and the people stood, the men, the women, the children, and they stood for how many hours? Anyone remember how many hours they stood? 6 hours from daybreak until noon while Ezra read from the word of God, and then the Levites helped explain it to the people. The word of God is central and core, which is our next thing. The Bible is at the center of a life that is being rebuilt. And then I went on to say, the Bible is not boring. We are boring. The Bible is not boring. If you're bored with my sermon, it's not the Bible. It's on me. The Bible is not boring. We are boring, and we are distracted, and we are so often so infatuated with the trivial that we cannot even appreciate something of substance. And we talked about how many distractions there are in our lives. In fact, in my weekly email, church weekly email, I included a link the last few weeks of some things that have to do with distraction, because distractions will rob us of our ability to think deep thoughts and wrestle with things of substance. And then I concluded that sermon with this question: what new fresh commitment do you want to make to God right now, and what area of your life do you want to start rebuilding or continue rebuilding today? So that was the long sermon Sunday, 6 hours. I promise I'll never preach 6 hours. Well, I can't promise that. You never know. Then we came to chapter 12. That was last Sunday. Who remembers last Sunday? What happened last Sunday? Celebration. Thank you, Justin. Celebration. So what we did is we opened the scriptures. We preached, I preached, you listened, and then we responded, just like they did in chapter 12, verses 27 to 43, because the point was that when God has done a work in you, you want to pause and celebrate. And so we saw a definition for worship. Worship is our response, both personal and corporate, to God for who He is and what He's done, expressed in and by the things that we say and the way we live. Worship isn't just singing a few songs on Sunday morning where we have something going on in the service and we say, okay, now for some worship. No, all of life is worship. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So worship is our response personally as well as corporately to God. To God, it's not for me, it's not to me, it's to God for who He is and what He has done. So that's why earlier we were singing in the service, God be lifted high. God be lifted high in my life, be lifted high in my words. You be lifted high, because it's for God, it's about God. And then we loved this, I love this, I don't know if you did or not, the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. And I asked the question, how far is your joy heard? Do people who don't know you see you as a joyful person? Do people who do know you, your neighbors, your roommates, your family members, your coworkers, would they say, he or she has grouchy days sometimes, because we all do, but they are a joyful person. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Remember I said, I want us to sing when we sing. I want us to be heard at 70th Street, and I want us to be heard at Colwood and 54th Street, and I want us to be heard at El Cajon and up to Montezuma. And you responded and you did it. And those of you in the balcony, I love you. Good morning. You came down and you joined us. And it was a rousing sound. Our joy could be heard far away. And then we saw this, as you rebuild your life, don't lose your joy in God. That's why we need each other, to help each other, to undergird each other. And then finally we saw, when you've made progress rebuilding an area of your life, take time to celebrate. So we're going to pause for a moment now. We're not going to sing right now. We're going to sing one more song. But we are going to hear from a couple of our people, three of our people, who are going to share with us briefly how God has been at work in them in the rebuilding of their lives. And so, James, if you could bring someone and come help me, that would be great. Thank you. Yes, keep it. Just take it. Take it. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to invite Melissa to come first, and she's going to come sit here with me. There you are. I'm thinking, did she leave? So I have a couple questions to ask Melissa. So Melissa, introduce yourself to us. Give us your name and how long you've been a part of the church.
Hi, I'm Melissa Pierce. I've been a part of this church for 7 years in fall, which is crazy.
Okay. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us some of the ways God has been speaking to you personally through this series on rebuilding your life.
First of all, I love Nehemiah. I love the story. I've been through it a few times, and it's crazy how every time you go through it, you come up with something different. And so this time for me, it was a lot about the diligence that Nehemiah had when he went to God first. And my life, if you don't, for those of you who know me, I'm a planner. Like, I love making lists. I love planning things out. I like knowing that the next step in my life is all mapped out for me. And this year so far has been a little bit rocky. I've had a couple things come up. I've had a couple of ways that I've been able to grow in my faith. And so having this sermon come up and this series come up and Nehemiah, just the way that he was so diligent in going to God first in prayer. And it was like, he had this idea and he went to God. And he was like, I don't do that. I was like, I need to work on that. In fact, I spent so much time throughout the series actually trying to find a wall to build, and it was me the whole time. That's where I was. I was trying to find this wall, and I was trying to figure out, like, what's God really putting on my heart? And the whole time he was being like, hey, why don't you just listen to me and let go of that control? So the biggest part that I learned from this was taking that step back, trusting God with my future, not controlling my life, and letting God be in control ultimately was the biggest thing I learned.
Okay. So do you have a specific next step?
I wish I could make a list about it. I want to be like Nehemiah. I want to be able to wake up in the morning and celebrate and not lose joy in God and be able to pray and control my life less. And so that's my next step, being able to just go to God in prayer more and be able to take things to God instead of being like, hey, I'm going to sit down and map this out for myself. I'm going to make this my priority. I'm going to make it God's priority and live that kind of life. Also, the last sermon series that we went through, being able to like celebrate the times that you have and the growth that you've been through, I think is so huge. And I just really want to be able to sit back and be like, look at what God's done in my life. And I'm just going to praise that right now instead of finding that next wall I need to build.
Okay. Thank you very much, Melissa. Thank you. I won't tell you her name. I'll let her tell you. Good morning. You want to introduce yourself to your church family?
Good morning. Yeah. I'm Laura Sizemore, and I've been attending this church since I've been a little kid.
Okay, and now you're old.
Yeah, well, relatively.
So Why don't you share with your church family the impact that this series has had on you and specific in the area of rebuilding?
Sure. This series kind of convicted me to rebuild my life of service. So as a little bit of background, 3 years ago I started grad school, and that was a very intense two-year program and took up a lot of my time and my weekends and everything. And I had just gotten married. So my priorities were grad school and figuring out how to be married and what that looks like. And so in that, I took a break from areas that I had been serving. And I think that while that was appropriate for that time of my life, it got me into a habit of saying no to things. And so things would come up and I would say, oh, I can't do that, I'm too busy. Or even just commitments for a couple hours on a Saturday, like the fall festival, I would say, nope, can't do that. And so last year I graduated and I have a job now, and so I have a lot more free time, but I was still in that habit of saying no. And so right before we started the Nehemiah series, a couple people had asked me, hey, Laura, where are you serving right now? And I would kind of say, I spend a total of 2 hours a month in children's, and that was about it. Or Marshall, backpacks over the summer. That's like a couple week commitment. And I kind of got to thinking like, you know, that's not a ton. I could be serving more with my time and the abilities that I have. And so we started Nehemiah, and I got to thinking about all of the people that were involved in rebuilding the wall and the sacrifice that it took and the effort and the time. And so I decided to rebuild my heart of service. And so what that has looked like recently, James and I have decided to join the leadership team for the collective group. And so while that's something that is new and a very different area than we have been previously serving, we believe that it's a way that we can help in incorporate and invite and build community amongst the people that are in our age range. And we're pretty excited about it.
Okay. All right. Well, you answered my third question already. You're very... I know what your next step is.
Well, you gave me the script, so.
You're letting our secrets out.
Sorry.
I did that so that they wouldn't be nervous. So if I ever ask you to do this, I have your back. Okay? I'm not going to just hang you out here to dry. I didn't do that, did I?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. You can go back and join your husband. Thank you very much. And then we have one more, and I'll let her tell you who she is as well, and you know what to...
You don't want to spoil my introduction?
No, I don't want to spoil your introduction. We could have Team 56 introduce you.
Yeah, what's my name? My name's Kathleen Preddy. Hi. And I've been at College Ave. My parents moved here when I was a baby, so like 1992, I think? 93, maybe?
Okay, moved here from Chicago, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so tell us, how has this series of sermons from Nehemiah's life impacted you and the whole area of rebuilding in your life?
Yeah, so when I originally got my card, I was thinking about, okay, what do I need to rebuild? I like wrote down all these different things, like all these different areas of my life, and I'm like, okay, so like what's really at the heart of that? Because I'm not just going to like say, oh, I have to rebuild everything. Like, what's the core? And what I came to was self-discipline and just kind of being able to... I love how Nehemiah, he has this kind of one-track mind the whole time, right? So he gets the news about Jerusalem, and he's super, like, upset about it and weighed down. And he takes his time, takes a step back. He kind of develops... a plan of what he needs and where he needs to go. And then he gets the opportunity to kind of launch that. And then he gets to the city and he like takes a step back and he looks at the city and he figures out what he needs to do. And then he like puts that plan in motion. And for me, I tend to just, if you know me, this is like, you already know where I'm going with this. I tend to just like rush into stuff. Like problem, great, I'm on it. And I don't take that step back to like, assess and look at what God's doing and join with him. I just kind of like rush in and patch things as I can. And that can be like super distracting because I don't have this stepped back big picture. So that's what I thought was kind of at the heart of all my list of areas.
So what's your next step?
So my next step, which I guess I've already started some of this, is two things. One is to kind of minimize in-my-face distractions. So things like I went through and changed the notification settings on my phone or my watch, because like anytime anything goes off, it's like right here on my wrist. And so that helped a lot. And then the other thing was to create space in my life. So usually before, when I got up in the morning, I would just like wake up as early as I could wake up and get ready as fast as I could get ready and jump in the car and drive as fast as I could to work and like try to do that just like quick. And now what I've been doing is I've created kind of a morning routine, which sounds silly, but just like eating in the morning or like...
She said eating in the morning.
It's important. It's like just being able to take the time to not be like, okay, like I'm just going to do everything as fast as I can and like whatever, to get things done and do things that are important besides moving on to the next thing. So that was one. And then there's other places that I can create space like that. So like at work, like sitting in the break room to have lunch so that I can talk to the people who are around me. And not just like power walking everywhere I need to go, like head down trying to get things done, but actually looking out for, you know, other people and where they're at and how I can be a part of their lives. And it's been really cool. There's been people who have like had cool conversations with me. It's been really great. I think God kind of lobs you these easy things when you start rebuilding sometimes. He's like, here's an easy one. Someone's crying in the break room. Like, you're not gonna power walk through that, right? So, so that's been nice. God is gracious.
We could test her now. We could all start crying and see what she does.
That might overwhelm me. Let's not too much.
Well, thank you for sharing as well. Thank you very much.